My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you're DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Save up to 40% when you buy two or more. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Welcome to another round of the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. For those unfamiliar, SDHAM is the morning show attached to the Soccer Down Here, the SDH Network, running Monday through Friday, starting off at 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time, usually going for 2 hours, let's just say more than 2 hours most of the time. And you can find it across all of the social media platforms, live on YouTube, and then archived to YouTube, archived to your favorite podcatcher in whole and in part when it comes to some of our guests and pundits, and out there for you also at soccerdownhere.net, where you can get the Morning Espresso newsletter. Just sign up for it when you go there, and you can catch up with everything going on as a part of the way that we start our day here at SDHAM. And so this week, what we've done is we've kind of gone from a couple of different places. It was a magical evening. And I'm saying that and not meaning to be hyperbolic in the least, because of a record-setting night for soccer in general. And it just so happened to be at Sanford Stadium in Athens, Georgia, where the UGA soccer team played between the hedges. And it was an opportunity against James Madison to set a record for attendance when it comes to collegiate matches and soccer. And they did exactly that. Just north of 25,000 showed up between the hedges. They had to keep opening up sections, and they just had to open up the doors for everybody that had a ticket that needed to be scanned, that was waiting late to get into the kickoff shortly after 7 o'clock on campus. We're going to catch up with Kadani McAlpine leading into the event and find out what all of the buildup was like and what it was like for him as they were preparing for this match. And so you'll hear that interview on the Best of SDHAM coming up here in just a little bit. And then we're going to change our attention to Major League Soccer and what has been going on. Very, very busy week, third time in an 8-day period that folks get to see what's going on with their favorite MLS clubs. And it's an opportunity for us to check in with the voices that are attached when it comes to Apple TV. We get to catch up with Carlos Mauricio Ramirez, and we get to find out what's going on with Toma Papa and find out what life is like for him on this side of the United States, as he has now moved from his home in California and he is now in Florida. Get a bit of the background on that. And we get to find out what it's going to be like for him to call the Orlando City RSL match this weekend in English. He has a bilingual play-by-play voice, but this will be the first time for Major League Soccer and for Apple TV that he has done the opportunity in English. And so we get to catch up with him about that, catch up with him about Orlando City and RSL. And then after that, Brian Dunseth kind of crashed. And he hit his stoplights a little early, came in, so we included Brian Dunseth into the conversation. And so you'll get to hear a little bit of the conversation that we had with Dunny as well. So it's Kadani, it's Tomapapa, and it's Dunny coming up in just a little bit here on the Best of SDHAM. So bat and leadoff to set things up before a magical night in Athens, Georgia. The head coach of the UGA soccer program, Kadani McAlpine, with the update and all the whys attached to now and to the opponent, James Madison. We go into added time. Well, actually, technically not added time because we're still rocking and rolling. There he is. How are you, Coach?
I am fantastically well. How are you?
Better now. Now that we got a hold of you and that you made it back home in one piece, and
did.
And so I've got to ask before we go forward, let's go backward a little bit. It was a 1-1 draw yesterday.
Yep.
What were some of the takeaways on the flight home for you coming back from Minnesota in a 1-1 draw up there in B1G territory?
Takeaway from the weekend: we got a lot of new faces. And trying to piece them together and have them play well in the first two games when your exhibition gets canceled is not the easiest thing to do, especially on the road. But I like our pieces. I think we had some moments where we looked the part. We looked like we're going to be able to put this thing together really well. And we will grow. There's no doubt about it. But I really like our pieces. Some of our young players and new players played really well. In spurts, we just work consistent throughout the 90 minutes. And that's how it works in this game. If you're not, then it's going to be tough to get the result.
Well, and at the same time, you mentioned all of the younger players coming in, the underclassmen and those that are coming in that are still trying to get adjusted to the McAlpine way. I'll go ahead and put that in quotes. And
I appreciate that.
In italics, you know, the McAlpine way. I need like reverb, you know, to for the emphasis. But when it comes to integrating and understanding what you're looking for at 100%, where do you think they are in the process? I know it's going to be a consistently learning process as the season goes along, but now that the season has started, where do you think their learning curve is right now as they're playing matches that count?
I would say we're probably 75% of the way there. I think the things that really can kill you is lining up for set pieces correctly, getting to the right spots. A lot of that stuff is actually happening. So I feel pretty confident. Okay, some of the hardest things to do, some of the things that can really break games, we're doing pretty well. Now it's chemistry. It's rhythm. What is this player like? What is that player like? Okay, I'm in the right space. Based on the way this team is defending us, what's the read, right? Little things like that I think are happening that, with time together, with time in this group, with a little bit more film, it'll start to make sense and we'll start to not necessarily react, but actually make things happen the way we need them to play.
With the graduate students in the fifth years and the seniors, how are they helping you out there on the pitch, whether it's at practice or in game? How are the upperclassmen helping the underclassmen understand and translate what you want to have them do?
A lot of it is just getting people in the spots. It's the communication. It's the encouragement. Hey, get to the spot. Go, 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 go. Right. Like those little moments where like, hey, I need you to move. Right. It's communication. And then it's the sidebar conversation at a break. It's the moments where they can whisper instead of having me yell all the time. Right. They can whisper and go, hey, when this happens, I need this and this and this. When that happens, we need you to do this. They are teaching along the way. So we've got, it's multi-layered. And I think every team, you know, knows that if you're not getting that, you're not really optimizing your growth. And I think we're starting to see some of those things happen, but we just need games.
And speaking of which, since you're kind of leaning right into it, next one for you, James Madison, Sanford Stadium. I have heard of this location, and it is a celebration on multiple fronts. And what has it been like for you and for the staff and for the university? I mean, obviously, Coach Smart was saying, you know, hey, get your butt over to the stadium to watch the game and everything. What has it been like for you and the university while you're playing in the B1G and you got games that matter, still trying to sit there and get everything squared away for what is going to be a fantastic event on Thursday? What is it like having to clone yourself to have to work two sides of the street?
Luckily, I've got great staff, right? And so a lot of moving parts, but honestly, from President Moorhead down, everybody has jumped on board to try to make this one of the most unbelievable experiences, not only for the players in the game, but for people that come to the game to pay homage to an event that propelled soccer as we know it here in the States forward. And then you look into the 99ers and so on and so forth. And so it's been really, really exciting, humbling in a way, to have this many people pushing so hard to make this an unbelievable night.
When you look at these are the target numbers for folks that are wandering into the door, other than the main target number that you want to be like 92,000, obviously.
I know, right?
76,481 were there August 1st of 96 when it was the gold medal match in the Olympics then. But the target numbers when it comes to college set in 1999, 14,410. The men's record set in 1980, 22,512. And you were part of setting the regular season attendance record.
Yeah.
When the folks that were in downtown Los Angeles over next to the mausoleum, they were playing the Hallowed Halls of UCLA back in 2017. Yeah. What do you remember about that game where 11,925 were looking at a crosstown matchup of two schools that really do not like each other when USC played UCLA?
Honestly, the funny part about it is we were fortunate enough to play that rivalry in the Coliseum at UCLA, at Dignity Health. We've played it in three places. So we averaged about 8,500 people for that matchup. So to be there and to be in that night, it was, every time we did it, it was unbelievable. The energy, the best part are the little kids. To hear them celebrate each and every play, the oohs, the ahs, because you know one of those little girls are going to be on the field in that matchup sometime in the future. It was the best part because you could hear it. Every little shrill and moment, they were all into the games. And that's what it's all about, pushing this thing forward.
And what a lot of folks may not know is that the head coach of James Madison now, and we're going to catch up with him Thursday morning, Joshua Walters Sr., he was also UCLA's associate head coach then. Mm-hmm. So pairing this matchup up, it was like, yeah, I imagine you called Joshua and it's like, you know, hey, dude, let's do something. And I'm sure that he dove in. And he's like, yeah, let's go ahead and rock and roll. What were those conversations like with him at James Madison?
It was exactly that. Once we looked at the schedule, I was like, oh, this works out. Okay, James Madison. Oh, that's Josh. I don't need to worry about that guy, right? Like he'll be on board. And so as soon as I picked up the phone, say, Josh, this is moving. I've gotten all the people on board. Are you in? He's like, yeah. Just tell me where to be, when to be, how to be, and done. And it was over just like that. And so, and he's been great on every platform and moment that he's had to press it. He's pushed it. So, we both, I think, recognize this is bigger than us. It's great for our players and our women, but it's bigger than that because here we are. We have U.S. soccer moving into Georgia. We've got Atlanta, NWSL Atlanta being here, right? We've got another push with the Women's World Cup coming in 2027, coming off the Men's World Cup that was so successful. We've got this energy that's happening right now as the NWSL is establishing itself again and continuing to add teams and the valuations are going up. Like this is hopefully one of those moments where we can take the collegiate game and push it forward in a similar way to have more eyes on it, because we do have so many women that are they do the work and they deserve to get crowds at their games too.
How do you get yourself and the players to enjoy the experience, knowing that there's a win, a loss, or a draw attached to it, but understanding the gravity of the moment, mm-hmm. understanding that, yeah, I want you to enjoy yourself because of the impact that you can make as a role model on the field before and after this entire week, and then the after effects. How do you balance all of that but still not get caught up in the moment when you're going to have, 127,000 people, yelling down onto the field on a special moment on Thursday. How do you keep from getting wrapped up in it, knowing that you might have one of those moments you look up and you go, man, there's a lot of people here?
Yeah, the goal is to have them just lock in on the task at hand, play. And just by playing, you will accomplish a lot of the things that we're talking about. And then there will be a point where I stop and I tell them, hey, look up. Take a deep breath.
Okay.
Don't forget what this feels like, because I think, you know, all of them have aspirations of playing at another level and all the things, but there's a chance for some of them that may not be a moment that they will ever experience again. And I do think there's an importance of stopping, looking, appreciating, and then getting to work. I'll never forget the first time we did it at the Coliseum. As the fans rolled in, I did it with our staff, and I'm like, hey, man, look. let's stop for a second. I know this game is going, and we were underdogs at that time. That was a fantastic UCLA team that we were playing that night, but we had just gotten there. But it was one of those things. Once you stop and listen and take it in, you don't forget it. You don't forget the feeling. You don't forget the goosebumps. You don't forget the sound of it. And I want to make sure that we at least take the time to experience it, because there is something about being present and then giving your best because you understand the space that you're in.
How has the college game evolved, grown, whatever word you want to use, from that game to what we're going to experience Thursday? How has college either maintained or changed in that time frame going from one bookmark to this one?
Now that's there's so much in it. I will say, I think there seems to be more parity, right? As one thing has happened, some of our most elite players haven't come to college, and that's okay. They're going directly to the pros, or spent a year and gone to the pros. And I think it closes the gap a little bit. I think you're finding the crossover of now all the conferences. More people are getting exposed to more styles and having to solve more things. So you get that as well. I think coaches and players are all better. More coaches are studying up. More players are studying up. More. There's been more on television. So players feel like they can. So they're investing more. Right? And so everything, I think, is better, regardless of the level, whether it be a quote-unquote mid-major or Power Four. I think the quality is better. The players are better. Even though that 1%, that, you know, that half a percent have moved on, I think it's forced everybody else to really lock in and get better.
But at the same time, when you're trying to recruit to bring somebody there to Athens, I know that you're looking for a specific kind of individual.
Yeah.
Who can represent both on the field and off, because, you know, you mentioned being a role model. Yep. And being there for that next generation, because you know they're going to be there, you know, at Sanford on Thursday. What's it like when you have invested in a player the way that you think that, and I'm talking between the ears, not the product, but when you've invested and you said, okay, this player, I think, knows my way, knows the McAlpine way. I know that, you know, they're going to come here, they're going to do great on the field, but I want them to do well off the field. I want them to grow as that individual. What's it like for you to do that initial investment and then see the switch flip where they are making those inroads and they're rubbing off on the next generation, not afraid to sit there and talk and do clinics and reach out to those younger players that they can make that kind of an impact on about their path in girls soccer or women's soccer?
You know, it's amazing. It's funny because Minnesota, one of our former players, came out and watched the game, and she brought her two kids, and she's coaching now. And we look across the landscape. We played against another one of our former players who was on the Illinois sideline, and we look around college coaching, and we go, "Ooh, there's one, there's one, there's one." We look around youth coaching, and there's one, there's one. And so there's a sense of pride. We didn't break them. We didn't run them off from the game, right? There's still a passion and love for the game. But there is that giving back moment, and they can share those experiences. We look in the pros, and we see, whether it be abroad, whether it be in the NWSL, whether it be in the USL, we see players that are still doing it, that are still loving it. I mean, you know, we've got players from that championship season way back still in the league, right? And that in itself, I think, is a testament to the types of people that we have. But honestly, the ones who are in the community, they have their foundations. They're doing big camps. They're going to other places. Those are the spaces and things that we're really excited about, because we're not just changing a small group. It's being paid forward. And now you're impacting so much more than just the little space that you're in here in college. They're growing, and it's now the ripples are helping the game grow, are moving the needle. They're on the player union, and they're in the rooms speaking their minds and being heard, and that's a beautiful thing.
And if you would please, sir, for those that have not pulled the trigger yet, we want them to stuff Sanford Stadium. We don't want them to hurt the hedges. We want them to stuff the stadium.
Yep.
We want 127,000 people to be there. We want the fire marshal to be the most important person there on Thursday. How do they do it and become a part of this?
So you can go on anywhere on our social medias, whatnot. There are QR codes. There are click here buttons, click here links. You name it, you can find it. Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Sanford Stadium, James Madison, Georgia. We need to put people in the building. There will be fireworks after. Mm-hmm. There are parking instructions on the website.
Okay.
Listen, come be a part of history. Come make history. More importantly, come celebrate Georgia soccer's history, our U.S. soccer's history, our Olympic history, our connection to the two, and let's continue to build this game.
Okay. Have you already had practice this morning?
No practice.
Okay, so no practice today at all?
No, they had to come back and go to class. Today's first day of class.
Okay, so the reason I ask is because you got to make sure that those pipes, I know that you're going to be doing a lot of this between now and Thursday. You got to save those pipes because you got practice,
yep.
And you got to talk to folks like me for the next 3 days. So for me, it is traditional medicinals, throat coat tea.
Uh-huh.
Maybe add a little lemon, or maybe
add a little lemon, a little honey. Yep.
And then there's also stuff like Singer's Saving Grace and things like that the boss swears by when she's got to do her thing, and the voice is really hitting it, because I'm starting to hear a little bit of that Minnesota reverb from yesterday and all of the yelling and everything.
Absolutely.
I know it's there, but I can't thank you again for doing this. It's going to be great to see you on Thursday. And we cannot wait to have 9 bazillion people there between the hedges to sit there and watch what's going on with you and UGA soccer to celebrate the entire game going up against James Madison. I can't thank you enough. So just save the pipes. And if you need a note for going to the drugstore, just let us know.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. What you do for the game, what you do for us is amazing. So I really appreciate it. Go Dawgs. See you all there on Thursday. Soccer in Sanford.
What he said. Coach, good to see you. We'll catch up soon.
All right, have a good one.
There he goes, Gadani McAlpine, head coach at UGA.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you're DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Save up to 40% when you buy two or more. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
As always, great to catch up with Coach, and we can't thank our friends at the University of Georgia enough for being great partners with us to lay things out for you and have you be a part of what happened at soccer in Sanford and a tremendous record-setting crowd for all of collegiate soccer in Athens, Georgia this past week. This is the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. And now it's time to twist our focus into Major League Soccer and find out what it's going to be like for Carlos M. Ramirez at Tomapapa on the 280 character app, what it's like for him to have moved from one coast to the other, what it's going to be like for him to call Orlando City and RSL. Here's the conversation that we got to have on a crazy Friday show with the CMR and find out what's going on in his world with Apple TV and Major League Soccer. Last time we caught it with CMR, he was in a hotel room. He was in a hotel room that was probably closer to San Francisco than Levi's Stadium. And it's great to see you, my friend. Thanks for dropping back by the morning show. You're on the East Coast, so this way I'm not bugging you at like 6:30 in the morning.
Well, first of all, you're not bugging me. You never bug me. Ever, no matter the time, you never bug me, John. Thank you. I love being here on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Don't ever say that again, because it makes me feel bad and sad and depressed, and I don't want to feel on a Friday ever, but especially on a Friday. Yeah. Now that I've moved cross country to Florida, so we're on the same time zone, which is convenient.
We always like to wrap our time with Michael Parkhurst with his golden retriever Deacon, and Deacon just likes to basically lay on the floor and listen to Michael and go, "Are we done yet? Where's my treat?" And Deacon just kind of sleeps through the whole segment. I have been told that with your move from the left coast to the East Coast, that you had a co-pilot slash guardian make the trip with you. Is this accurate?
I did. That's 100. Your sources are correct. I have my dog, Benito, who could have been or not, I can't confirm, named after a very famous reggaeton singer.
Okay.
Bad Bunny.
Okay.
May have happened. It may have happened.
Okay.
Yeah, it took me 5 days to get from San Jose to Miami, Florida, with stops in Phoenix, Fort Stockton, that I didn't even know existed in Texas, to then Houston, later to a place I also did not know was part of our planet, mm-hmm. called Chipley, Florida, in the Panhandle.
Absolutely.
An hour from Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And then from Chipley all the way down through 75 to Miami, Florida. That was the 5 day, 10 to 11 hour average driving time a day road trip from San Jose, from PayPal Park to New Stadium.
Wow. So how many times did you have to stop to have Benito take care of business?
Oh, I lost track. I stopped counting. When I was having lunch with Benito, when I stopped at El Paso for Chipotle, and I set up his food, his plate next to me, and we were having, because it was pouring rain in El Paso. So he's chowing down on his plate. I'm also mowing down my Chipotle bowl. I said, I just got to stop. Whatever happens, happens. And if there's a stomach incident here for both of us, then so be it. I'm not going to count. But they were many. And, of course, Murphy's Law. I stayed at a great friend's house and his wife and daughter in Houston. And I'm bragging about my dog, how well-behaved he is, how he never does, which is true. He's a great dog. He never does anything. Cut to, he took a poop and a number one in the front door.
10-300 on the front door.
Yeah. So that's Benito in a nutshell.
Oh man. And I've done the cross country drive myself, and mm-hmm. it took me 4 days to go from LA to Atlanta.
Wow. And, okay, you're pushing it.
Well, yeah, because it was me and I was taking my dad's car from LA here to Atlanta. So I left late in the afternoon, LA traffic, stopped in Flagstaff for the night.
Okay.
Got the only hotel room available because I'd forgotten that Flagstaff was the jumping off point for everybody and their trailers to go to the Grand Canyon.
Right.
The hotel that I stopped at had one room. It was a smoking room.
Oh, no.
And it was hideous. Mm, and I took it because it was like late at night. And I'm like, dude, I've just got to stop. So then day two was Flagstaff to Lubbock. And then stayed in Lubbock and was there for that night. Watched some independent baseball. So that was the second night. Then went Lubbock to Conway, Arkansas, and got to stop in Oklahoma City and did some stuff in Oklahoma City on the way through there. And then Conway, Arkansas, just shy of Little Rock. And then Conway to Atlanta was day four. So that was. So, yeah, I was driving my dad's car back from Southern California to here. And so that was my tour. So I know of which you
That's kind of what I did. I did that because I was driving my ex-wife's car because we moved, even though we're separated, we moved together with her kids from California to Florida. So she flew with the girls and her mom, and I drove her car with the dog. So
I can relate. You have, you sir, you comma sir, have Orlando and RSL this weekend.
I do.
And it's really cool. And this is your first English language play-by-play assignment for Apple, yeah?
For MLS, yes.
How's that feel?
Great. Really good. I mean, first of all, thankful. That's the first feeling that I have is it's a sense, it's a mix of gratitude and thankfulness for Kristen Bredis LaFemina, who's my boss at MLS, and for Kirk Reynolds, and for everyone who is deemed me good enough to do this in English, which I've done in the past for Telemundo. I've done Chivas games in English. I've done 49ers games in English. For you might be asking why he's talking about, well, Spanish is my first tongue, my native tongue, right. But I'm perfectly bilingual, as you can hear. Mm-hmm. But I was hired by MLS to do games in Spanish, them knowing that I can do stuff in English because over the past 4.5 years, I did work for NBC Sports Bay Area as their main English host for 49er content, also for the Giants and the A's. So I hoped it was just a matter of time and the right game or the right circumstance or the right, you know, set of situations to combine themselves for me to get this opportunity. And I couldn't be happier. It's in Orlando. It's a great game. I get to call the game with Laura Lindsay, who is amazing. The two guys calling the game in Spanish were friends. They're also from Venezuela, born and raised. So, and I also feel a responsibility to other bilingual broadcasters to prove that we can do this, right? It's not very common, John, as you know, for, a Spanish speaking broadcaster to get the chance to do this in English in any window, whether it's hosting or play-by-play or anything. So I feel a sense of spearheading this initiative or this kind of window and opportunity for the other colleagues like myself who
speak. My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
The right window treatments change everything. your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you're DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Save up to 40% when you buy two or more. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Two languages or more who want to do this in different platforms.
And then you end up with Brian Dunseth here on the Best of SDHAM crashing the segment with CMR. They have a bit of an interaction themselves. And then you get to hear some of the conversation that we had with Brian. Dunny hung out for a long time, and it was great to catch up with him on a bunch of different topics. I still had a half a dozen or so topics left on the floor that didn't get touched, which means he's just going to have to come back and be on the show. Here's our conversation with Brian Dunseth on the Best of SDHAM. Brian Dunseth in the bullpen. He'll be joining us here in a couple of minutes. It'll be fun to catch up.
Dunny?
Yeah, Dunny. I mean, I can punch him in if you want.
Yeah,
you want
get him in. I love Dunny.
All right, so we'll punch Dunny in early, and we'll bring Dunny in.
Look at this guy. I have to see his face plastered around Salt Lake City, his beautiful face for the Thursday radio show, and talking about RSL. Hey, Dunny.
What's up, guys? How are you?
What's up, buddy?
I didn't even get connect. I was going to put my headsets on.
No. No.
What's going on, guys?
Why is it so freaking hot in Salt Lake? I was melting the other day, buddy.
I'm going to give you a little, geography lesson.
This is
the high desert. So when we get in the summer, you're like at 100, 110. People forget, like, we're 4,900-ish feet.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, man, it gets super hot, super cold.
It was warm in there inside the booth. It was horrible the other day.
Well, I mean, there's an air conditioning and there's a window. I mean, we've got options. But it's kind of like back in the 80s. We just roll that window down. You know, there's no AC. It's just air. Mm-hmm. Like, we go back. We actually used the key to turn the car on. Yeah. Like, that's what mm-hmm. you're spoiled, man. Carlos, you're getting spoiled out here with technology.
Look, to this day, I still... First impulse for me is to roll down the window, and if not roll down mine, roll down the passenger window when I'm on the interstate.
Yep.
Because one of my first cars was a Dodge Aries K midsize station wagon.
Oh, okay.
And it was awful.
So just to give you a sense, John, of what I went through on Wednesday, mm-hmm. And for those of you who haven't been on American First Field, the booth doesn't have glass. It's you have to lift
roll
the gate.
Yep.
You have to pull the gate. It's a gate. So you have to pull it up to watch the game. So it's a yin and yang situation. I have the AC blowing my head off from the backside, and I have the heat compressing my face towards the AC.
You've got a thunderstorm going on.
Cold, warm. So
you've gone soft, my man. You're getting soft in your old age. Holy moly.
Wow. I was just waiting for the thunderstorm to happen right in front of you. When the stuff's coming in from the window and the stuff's hitting you from behind, there's a thunderstorm to happen.
Yeah.
So Dunny, with CMR calling RSL and Orlando, I know that he has done his own bit of research with the Purple team and the team that is there in your hometown. What piece of information do you think is not on his study sheet that he would like to have for the broadcast coming up?
Oh, I would go with maybe what's missing. I was pretty adamant that there was a lack of athleticism in the midfield. Mm-hmm. And I think right now at this stage of the season, the loss of Emeka Anelli, with Griffin Dillon busting his fifth metatarsal in the dying moments of that game out in St. Louis, all of a sudden they're super light in that midfield. And I think there's, based on substitution pattern, there's concern with Stein Spearing's inability to play the full 90 consistently. I think Kaliskin's a worker bee. You know, he's a piano carrier. Mm-hmm. The biggest threat defensively for me has been that right-hand side, even when Goza was there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a Quinton issue, a DeAndre Yedlin issue, a Marchuk issue, now losing Zach Booth a couple of nights ago. But that right-hand side has always concerned me. They're soft on set pieces and corners. I think that Pablo's talked about that enough. And I guess I would equate this to a Andres Gomez Chicho departure, that we can talk about the caliber of player. We can talk about what Gozo and his kind of elite, you know, sprint to recovery ratio and all those things that come into play. But I think there creates a power vacuum inside of that locker room, whether that's the ability to step on the field or it's kind of a leadership slash culture. Because when you kind of replace these guys, they're all different parts of the puzzle. But that was a pretty tight puzzle. And to get through League's Cup and to play Tuesday night in Denver against Leon, you know, the RSL had to be the biggest surprise in that top four finisher in the League's Cup for MLS. So I could see this game as one of those where Pablo's like, man, do I sacrifice maybe another spot in the Western Conference where we were in fourth position and now all of a sudden we're starting to plummet a little bit? Or do I try to get the momentum back on our side, which is always going to be difficult with 3 games in 7 days?
CMR, did that help you out?
Yeah, I did. I mean, and I agree with what Dunny said. I think Pablo Ruiz being back gives him some muscle there, but not enough. Not enough pace. I mean, he's more of a game manager with through balls. He finds the pocket. He had a great pocket ball in that game against Dallas over Wednesday. Should have been a goal. But, yeah, there's not enough muscle there to go head-to-head with many teams. I agree with that. And the other one, the other issue I think they have is, and you can see with the Juarez game, I don't think Pablo trusts Olatunji as a backup nine behind Solans. He put Gilavogi in that game as a backup nine. He was a starting nine for that game. So if he gets a cold, if anything happens to Sergi Solans, I don't know what the backup plan. They don't have another nine.
Well, Olatunji, and that's Ari Piol busting his Achilles kill. I mean, that shows you, like, people forget Victor, he had 8 Champions League goals. I mean, this isn't some, like, you're not taking a flyer. Victor's proven at Sparta Prague that he was more than capable of scoring Champions League goals. But it's weird because it's that weird line of, like, I rub my fingers together, like the psychology, you know, like the tactics between the ears and then, like, just the physical reaction. And Olatunji, this is the wildest part about this season. You go back to the beginning, Olatunji takes a ball off the eye, almost loses his eye.
Yeah.
You know, match day -2 before their first game at Vancouver. Then all of a sudden, Piol goes down with the Achilles. All of a sudden, Sergi Solans, who was probably looking at a hybrid of, like, Monarchs minutes and Real Salt Lake minutes, is the man. And he's been incredible. Him and Luna and Gozo, there's just constant, like, urgency between those three. I can't figure out Gilavogi. He's kind of like, to me, like Matt Crooks was before Crooksy left RSL and went back to Hull City, where he's just one of those guys that's like, he's just the pass before the pass that kind of leads to something. But yeah, I agree with you. Right now, I could see a world in which, if we're being transparent and honest and a fly on the wall in those conversations, I think RSL needs probably 3 players. They need someone to help with Justin Glad's injury, because Arias went from 0 games to 5 in 6 months without playing.
Yeah.
It feels like Quinton is always, there's like one moment where you're like, oh, I wish you would have done a little bit better. We already talked about the physicality and the player profile in the midfield. And I think they need a little bit more competition up top. And on top of that, RSL has a history of selling their best players in the summer. Whether you talk about Jefferson Savarino, you talk about what happened with Andres Gomez. Now there's no Chicho. Now there's, you know, like Anderson Julio. Like, RSL fans are getting a little bit nervous, especially because now Miller Sports Entertainment Group and their history with the Jazz. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how they reinvest.
Yeah.
Because this payday for Gozo, you know, 15 plus 20% on the backside is great for the academy.
Yep.
You know, you're going to recoup a lot of money. But does that just go into the overall budget of what's necessary for capital calls, or can that go straight back into the squad?
No doubt. Carlos Mauricio Ramirez gets Orlando and RSL, the purple team, and Lori Lindsay and CMR. You realize, of course, sir, you know you are not a stranger here. You know the keys to the kingdom. You got the garage door opener. So anytime on a Friday, you know you can come in and crash, yeah?
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you, Donnie.
And glad that you are on this side. And for a minute there, I thought you were going to say that you named your dog after a famous San Diego Padres catcher.
No, Benito Santiago. No, after Bad Bunny, which is, by the way, Dunny's favorite singer also. Bad Bunny.
That's a conversation for a walk back in Seattle from the stadium to the hotel.
We got space. If you guys want to crash anytime and have that kind of conversation. Carlos, have a hell of a call this weekend. Great to see you, my friend. Do not be a stranger, and we'll catch up with you soon, eh?
Thank you, guys. Thank you both for the time. And, Dunny, love seeing you, buddy. Just heads up. Don't be surprised if we see more 4-2-3-1s from RSL. The way he finished the game against Dallas, I wouldn't be shocked if we see more Saba, Gilabogi, and Diego behind Solans. I don't know if this is the game to do that, but maybe in the future we might see some moving pieces around for Pablo. We'll see what happens.
Excellent. CMR, good to see you, my friend. We'll see you soon.
See you, buddy.
There he goes. Carlos Mauricio Ramirez. And now, Dunny, I think this is actually your debut on the morning show.
Yeah.
This time.
I'm excited, man. I'm very, very thankful for the offer to join you, my man.
Well, I mean, as I told CMR, it's like, look, you now know where the garage door opener is. You've got the key under the mat. So literally on a Friday and Kirk Morrison with the league, and I basically, it's just like, look, whoever wants to come in and crash can crash. If somebody comes in, they can come in. It's a party. We're getting set for the weekend. It's all good. So if you're bored out of your mind on a Friday morning and Rennie's getting on your nerves, just sit there and go, look, dude, I'm out. I'm taking a break. I'm calling, I'm calling a 30. I'll be back.
I literally just got done making protein waffles for my teenagers or actually all three boys. And my third grader just walked out the door before I jumped in. My two older boys are, I don't know what they're doing. They've got late start on Friday. So those two knuckleheads are doing. So this is kind of like the perfect break from like waking up and trying to get my kids off to school versus, you know, just sitting around and watching YouTube. So, yeah, I appreciate the offer.
Anytime. It is an open door policy. Since we were talking RSL, let me give you a Saba Lobjanidze question since we're based here in Atlanta. Obviously, you've gotten the early returns on somebody that likes to point at the watch. What have your early returns been on Saba time so far?
Yeah, by the way, the point to the watch will always remind me of Clint Mathis over in Germany when he came on and he's just like hit a banger. And he's like, yeah, I told you I should have played. I love Cletus. Stone Mountain, by the way. Uh-huh. Yeah, listen, I've always enjoyed Saba. I really have. Like, I've always felt like, and I don't know if it was like a competition conversation, if it was like a managerial kind of like philosophical tactics. But the one thing that I was surprised at when RSL completed that move was that he was available. But I understand this evolution for Tata and trying to put into place what he wants to do and his guys versus somebody else's guys. That's just, we all know that as players, the moment that somebody else pops in, you're either going to have a huge opportunity or you are going to be sidelined very quickly. Saba, when he got here, one of the conversations that I found myself listening to was, we think he could kind of play in that number 10 position, that pocket position. And it really caught me off guard. I wasn't prepared for it. Not that he's not capable of it, but because in my mind, his incessant work rate, and this becomes kind of the genius in the moment of this move, is that I truly believe that he's the only one within this group that has the similar physical qualities that what Gozo brought to the field. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they're like for life,
yeah,
but I'm saying he's like the first guy that's in that kind of like, I can stretch the field. I can get wide. I like to isolate. You want a quick little combination, I'll lay the ball off and I'm going to burn my tail off to get in behind these guys. Like, I can be a little bit tricky. Like, I'm okay with like being trying to shift and trying to create for myself, or early, you know, early ball versus end line ball, cutback ball, face. So I want to see more of him, but I understand too, with Gila Vogui coming back fully fit and coming off that unnecessary red on the road at Portland, Luna's the only one that you feel like there's this constant sense of urgency, trying to get on the ball, trying to create something out of nothing. I think Saab has been a solid addition. And I think games like this in Orlando is going to be his chance to prove to the coaching staff that he deserves to be a starter, especially with the space vacated by Gozo. But on top of that, he's got to be a leader amongst men. And we all know that when you get your chance, you can either look at it as a punishment based on who's in that starting 11 alongside of you, or you look at it as a reward and say, okay, I've been chomping at the bit. I've been training really well. This is what I want to do. But it sounds like, and again, this is like culture, that the locker room appreciates his personality, appreciates his skill set, and he's been looked at as a good addition at this stage of the season.
And I think that with Saba here, when there was that time under Gonzalo Pineda where you had all the injuries and you're trying to navigate through all of this, Saba was the guy.
Yeah.
And you had everything funneling to him. And then there's the pressure that's attached to being the guy.
Yeah.
And then when everybody gets healthy, you are a guy. You're not the guy, but you still have that pressure that's attached to you of needing to feel like you need to continue to produce at that rate.
Yeah.
And I think that that weighed on him. And you could tell that there were times where he was pressing and things weren't going. It's like, you know, just, and it's easier said than done, you know, tranquilo.
Yeah. But
with Sabat, just, it seemed like he was trying too hard at times. And I think that a fresh start was probably.
Yeah. And I'm of the belief, and maybe this is just purely because of my playing career. And now, you know, watching my kids go through the soccer system, I've got a 17-year-old, a 14-year-old, and an 8-year-old. I really do believe that having a different voice and having a new city and a new club and all of those things, there's something to be said about those lifers, right? There's only a few Kobe Jones or Duncan Outens or Benny Olsons that are, you know, the one club that they've played with forever. But I like the idea of a new interpretation, you know, different formations, different non-negotiables, you know, but within all of this, there was times where I found myself watching Atlanta United and very similar, thinking, well, what's Saba's role in this? Like, okay, you brought Almiron in, you've got Marinchuk, like who's going to play wide? Like what are you trying? Are you just putting a bunch of good players on the field at the same time? Is there really passing patterns and structures and ideas breaking down? Are you good enough to break down the opponent? Are you better against a back three, hybrid five, or, you know, flat four? Are you possession-based? Do you just play for transition moments? I never felt like there was that consistency of an identity with Atlanta United in these last couple of years because of so much change and the roster being spliced and who's the GM, who's the sporting director, who's the director of, you know, like all those weird, I don't know, labels that we're seeing now that give somebody more of a presence than some other team. It's odd to me. But, yeah, he's a good – I think at this stage, he's a very good piece to a puzzle. You don't want to rely on him as solely a focal point.
Right. I know that I'm about to get in trouble because I have about 19 gazillion topics for you. When do you turn into a pumpkin?
How about – I could probably go – let's see – good 20, 25 minutes with you?
Okay. So we'll take you to a quarter till, and if you need a note to get into class, just let me know.
Awesome.
Okay, so here are my topics, and we can go whatever direction you want. I have a National Soccer Hall of Fame question for you.
Okay.
I have, obviously, the LAFC question for you because, you know, you and a fellow Florida State University alum, Max Bretos, are doing LAFC and LAFC. It's like, yeah, it's like Mary Hartman. It's LAFC, LAFC.
Yeah.
I got Leagues Cup we got to talk about, and then you got into that with RSL a little bit. And then considering you were part of host broadcast with the cup that the world was chasing, I wanted to find out where you think MLS is right now as a league when it comes to top 12, because we think that really, Jason and I were having this talk the other day, MLS could be number five, number six in the world right now. Everybody's sitting there thinking number 12 because 5 to 12, I think, is a tight group. What it would take to get to five. So dealer's choice, where do you want to go?
Let's go top of the list. Let's start at the very top.
All right, National Soccer Hall of Fame question.
Yeah.
Why in the hell is Clive Charles already not in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, man, you went with the nuclear bomb right off the top. Okay. Well, for clarity's sake, Clive Charles was my Olympic team coach in 2000. He was the assistant coach for Steve Sampson in 98. Don't let that spoil this conversation. Mm-hmm. He was the first black player to play for West Ham, or one of the first black players to play for West Ham before going over to Portland and being a Portland Timber. He's in the Portland Timber, I don't know what they call it, ring of whatever. His name is in the stadium up at Providence Park. And he's got a couple placards around the stadium. You know, University of Portland and everything they did on the men's and women's side. And I was his captain in 2000, just so I can lay this as the foundation of why I'm so adamant about this subject. And my son, my middle boy, is named Micah Clive.
Yep.
So this was he and Rocky Ray Hudson are the two most iconic coaches that had the biggest influence on my life as a player. And I'll Ray's amazing, obviously, because he's Rocky. Mm-hmm. But Clive was a father figure, and I've never, and this is the craziest part, this is the biggest compliment I can give Clive. I've never heard a single soul say a bad thing about him. Not a single soul. I mean, even if you despised him, you couldn't say a bad thing about him because that was more on you than it was on him. The fact that whatever capacity to put him into this voting process, whether it's as a coach, as an influencer amongst men and women, or it's a builder category, whatever you got to do, it's a tragedy that he's not in the National Soccer Hall of Fame. And I have been a part of, I can remember Aiden Brown, who's currently the goalkeeper coach in San Jose for Bruce Arena. You know, he kept hitting me up and trying to put together some type of behind the scenes momentum just to get him front and center. So again, I'm not privy to the voting process or how this calculated formula gets put in play for people to be put on the ballot in whatever capacity necessary. But it is absolutely a tragedy that he hasn't been acknowledged the way that he needs to be acknowledged, because you could put a poll out there publicly on whatever platform you need to find for former players of where Clive ranks in their like top three influential on and off the field. And I guarantee you, nobody's saying number two. Everybody's saying number one.
And he's in the semifinals list again this year. And there's 10 names. Literally, there are 10 names that are in this eligibility section. And you look at that list and you're like, yeah, I could see easily six of the 10 getting in. And apparently it's only supposed to be two. And I'm like, it seems flawed to me that you're only allowing that many in on any kind of a voting structure. But yeah, they're all seeming worthy. And the fact that Clive has been a part of this list for entirely too long. I've been somewhat rankled, and that's the word that I'll use early in the morning.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good word. Listen, man, he is, and again, I've talked about this on a few different occasions with people that are interested in his legacy. And it is, again, if you had the opportunity to ever be around him, both on the field or off the field. I mean, I'll give you a great, great quick story about him. He was, and again, this is a time in which heading into, you know, from 97 to 2000, September of 2000, we were together every month. And it was, you know, it was an incredible laundry list of human beings that were on that team. And whether you were Johnny O'Brien or Josh Wolf or Ben Olsen or Connor Casey or Petey Vinus or, you know, Chad McCarty and myself, Aiden Brown, Timmy Howard. I mean, we had that, and that's just naming a few. Landon was a little knucklehead coming off the bench and, you know, showcasing his personality and what his future was going to look like. But we would go to Europe quite often. And one of the games, one of the trips as captain, we decided because we were back in England, like, let's tease Clive a little bit. And Chris Brown had somehow figured out how to take a picture of Clive, and he had this big afro and he was playing for West Ham back in the day. And we put him on t-shirts, and we, you know, we, everybody got a t-shirt spread out. We're playing Man United at the next day. And at the time it was like John Thorington, Danny Higginbotham, who else? Jonathan Greeny, Wes Brown, Phil Neville was in the group. Jordy Cruyff was in the group. Like, it was a pretty good team that we were playing the next day. But we were at the Cliff, and we're warming up, and under our jackets, as soon as we look back, Clive turned around, we do like across the field, and we came back. And we've all got the big old Clive fro faces on our chest. And it was just amazing to see his reaction. He's just like, oh, you mother. And he just started, and it was great. We had him wound. And it took him a trip or two to find out who was ultimately responsible, because we vacuum sealed our lips to make sure no one was getting in trouble. But he found out it was me and Brownie, and we paid the price, but it was worth it. It was fun. It was a great time. And he let us be men. Like, we traveled the world and we knew our responsibility, but at the same time, he understood, he wanted us, as important it was to create kind of that fabric of culture and brotherhood and representing the national team, which is just an amazing, amazing feeling anytime you get that call. On top of that, he wanted us to find that maturity of responsibility of, okay, go explore, Sevilla, go explore Amsterdam, go explore Seoul, South Korea. Like, and he wanted us to, you know, enrich ourselves both on the field and off the field. And he was unlike, Ray was the only other one that had created that type of culture within the group. And it was obviously a little bit different because Ray was Miami Fusion versus Clive. You know, you kind of parachute in and have this incredible camaraderie. And oftentimes with this last group, with the U.S. men's national team, we were kind of weaponizing that conversation about vibes. This was the one thing that Clive really leaned into, was you wanted to create a competition culture on the field, and everyone was fighting for their spot, and you had to prove that you deserved to be there. But at the same time, he trusted you to be an adult, even though we were all, 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old little knuckleheads.
Yeah, and your Cal State Fullertonness is stuck. Where you stuck with me also as a Titan, because in another life, I would have had I stayed in Southern California, because I was born in Lakewood,
okay,
right on the LA County Orange County border.
Yeah,
my other life would have been being one of those junk ball left handed relief pitchers that learned under Augie Garrido.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so look, I mean, for me, I know about Mike Pringle and the football team. Augie Garrido and the baseball team. That would have been my
Kotze.
Yeah, that would
Mark Kotze.
That would have been my pathway if I, literally they're like, well, throw a fastball. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna throw a fastball. I'm not gonna do that. You're gonna pound it. That's not gonna happen.
You got a little Quisenberry knuckler underneath you?
I had like 13 different pitches. Literally, I would go three quarter, I would go sidearm.
What I got.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. And and you get to go either with the seams or against it. You either do two seamer or four seamer. Yeah. It was slider, curve, drop. Basically you line it like this and it goes like that and just drops off the table. All those kinds of splitter, slurve. I got that from Neil Heaton when there's a baseball card pull from the 80s. All those things. And I would annoy batters to death. It was basically,
and it was fun, man. We always joke about, like, when people ask, like, were you ever in a frat or any of that? And I was like, no, I played soccer at Fullerton. That was its own fraternity. Like, it was us and the baseball guys. And it was kind of like us against the frat, I guess, frat row. But no, what an experience. My group was pretty much Joey DiGiamarino and I were the two that kind of came out of our class and went pro. But now Sean Higgins is doing an amazing job, is one of the best premier agents in the United States. And watching Damian Brown and his coaching career with the women at Fullerton doing such an amazing job. Wish I had a stronger connection with the university, but hey, it was a fun three semesters where I didn't have to declare. Well, I had to declare a major. I did not declare a major, but more importantly, I never had study school. So within all of that, my GPA was high enough to constantly avoid the punishment of Big Al and Bob Allman.
10-minute warning with Brian Dunseth on the maiden voyage here on the morning show. Let's get into the MLS-y stuff. What in the wide world of sports happened with LAFC in Colorado?
So, rotation. I want to give Mark DeSantos credit, right? Because there's a lot of it. The moment that he took over for Steve Cherundolo, I was a bit surprised, if we're being transparent, about the wording of the way that both John Thorington and Mark DeSantos had decided to inadvertently kind of change course on Cherundolo's tenure, where, you know, that loss in Vancouver, it was like, well, I don't think we need to be as defensive. And I at the time I was like, oh, that kind of feels like a weird way to go out when Cherundolo did so much great things and got so far in so many different, you know, whether you're talking about CONCACAF Champions Cup, you're talking about FIFA Club World Cup, you're talking a qualification beating Club America at home, whether you talk about these MLS Cup finals, you know, Leagues Cup finals, all of these, like, they're perennial kind of like championship match finishers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they came up short. And listen, LAFC fans are absolutely spoiled because they have an incredible stadium with an incredible environment with a team on the West Coast that really mimics what Atlanta United and Mr. Arthur Blank were doing. We're, you know, spending money and having the capital and the influence and the commercial relevance to, you know, put butts in seats and win games. So that's the challenge for Mark, is when you say that kind of up close, and then all of a sudden we did the San Diego game, and San Diego was so good with the eyeball test and the possession with purpose and creativity that 32-52 and the fans inside BMO were getting pretty frustrated with how deep LAFC was sitting. And I don't think that was by design. I think that was by San Diego's ability. And they had chances in transition, and San Diego's a transition team, right? They're fine, you know, Porches, big switch to Denny Bouanga, Delgado cutting ball to Sonny, split the line, see if you get David Martinez in transition, all these things. So they lose the game against San Diego. They go to Colorado. The changes are significant. I mean, Schaffelberg, Boyd, and Abobasi are the three players starting. That looks and feels completely different than Sonny and Denny and David Martinez.
Yeah.
They've got injury concerns. Colorado has a good amount of bite, like Hasmadi and Wayne Frederick, the two 22-year-olds I thought were incredibly athletic and really, really smart. And the reality is that Colorado didn't play in Leagues Cup. So you've got 8 games for LAFC, 4 games for Colorado, the freshness and the rotation. Now, as I say that, LAFC just doesn't feel goal-threatening right now in these last 2 matches, which is wild because in the – let me see if I can recall this. El Tráfico away 3-0 against LA Galaxy, 3-1 at home against Real Salt Lake. Was it 4-0 against Sporting Kansas City maybe? So all of a sudden, it's a lot of goals that you're scoring. And then you go into Leagues Cup, which was a challenge because some great teams that you're facing and a great performance against Chivas de Guadalajara in particular. They don't qualify. They put all their eggs in that basket. They give up that late goal in the last game. And now you're kind of like, okay, how do we recalibrate what we're trying to do when Houston's having a flyer, Vancouver's incredibly consistent, and now we know all of these other teams, are they real or they're fake? So Colorado deserved it. I thought they've showed that they're still a little Jekyll and Hyde-ish, but it felt like Williams is a good enough replacement for Harrington in the back, because that's going to be a big loss, obviously, but huge financial windfall for the club, and I'm interested to see how they reinvest that money, similar to the conversation we had about Gozo the other day, or a little bit earlier.
And now it's the beginning of the Marty Cifuentes administration in PDX, and now you've got LAFC in Portland. What are you anticipating now with Portland under Cifuentes?
We did the first game the other day, their last game in Leagues Cup, and you could see kind of a couple little tactical elements, couple little rolling moments from outside backs, kind of just figuring out shading. Concerned about Kamal.
As always, great to catch up with our friends at Apple TV. Great to catch up with CMR. Great to catch up with Dunny. And as always, great to catch up with Kadani McAlpine, head coach of the UGA soccer program, on a very special week for the program and everyone that got to be a part of history between the hedges at Sanford Stadium. Thank you for being a part of the Best of SDHAM here at the Soccer Down Here Network. Once again, like, friend, be a part of the conversation on all the social media platforms that you've got. And you can find out what's going on with us here at SDHAM, 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time every single week, Monday through Friday. And yes, we go longer than the 2 hours prescribed because, frankly, there's a lot to talk about. So for everybody here at the SDH Network, I'm just John. Thanks for dropping by and being a part of the Best of SDHAM. Mucho Platel, play it safe. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Auto Trader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on Auto Trader. Really?
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.